Podcasters of the Universe Revelations Review Episode 2. That's right. It's been a while. We took a break. We've parted ways. Thought about what we said. Thought about our reflections on Episode 1. And found ourselves back at the studio.
Just like that. Lickety split.
Together.
Yeah.
Did you guys forgive me yet?
No.
No, we're still holding on to this.
It's going
to
take some healing. It's not going to be good.
Okay.
How you guys been since last time?
I'm good. I'm a little sweatier than I was.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yep. My neck still hurts a little bit, though.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to get right down into it this time. We are, like I said, we're reviewing episode 2. Hope you enjoyed episode 1. This is going to be more of the same, so if you like that.
Then you like this.
Buckle in, because here we go again.
Yeah. So, we start episode 2. It's called The Poisoned Chalice.
Mm.
Unfortunately, I'm unable to... What in the world?
Okay, so listeners, his watch
keeps
fans,
talking.
We have to let you know that Steven has this amazing new fancy watch.
I do. It's an Apple Watch, and I don't know why it does this to me.
It's like
it just talks back to us. It has its own personality.
It does.
It's like an AI. It's an AI.
It's almost like Jarvis on Iron Man.
It is.
Yeah.
And you're like Tony Stark.
I have my voice.
Just like Tony Stark. Actually, I'm more like, I'm more of a Captain America guy.
Yeah. A little.
That's right. The Poison Chalice.
So this episode starts out kind of in a...
Can I just say something?
Okay, say it.
I don't like episode 2.
I know you don't.
I'm just warning people.
That's fine.
I'm going to be grumpy with this one.
You don't have to like it. I'll like it more.
There are things I like about it.
Okay.
But it's not my favorite. If out of the 5 episodes there was a stinker, this is the one.
No pun intended, huh?
Okay. I believe
Speaking
you.
Speaking of stinker.
Yeah.
So we open up with a masked duo in sort of a smelly, like, garbage area. I believe these masks are actually a callback to something. Don't know what, but from what I heard, they were.
Okay. Fans, if you're listening to this.
Yeah, people who know stuff.
Let the boys know.
We know things, but we don't know everything.
No, we know the stuff that we know. That's...
We know the stuff we know.
Anything else is...
And usually we forget that, so... they're searching through the garbage for something. We're not sure what, but they keep talking about how it's even stinkier than maybe it should be.
Interesting.
And up through the garbage comes Stinkor.
Stinkor.
Giant and stinky and just starts barfing stink out of his mouth at them.
Yeah. Love his look.
Love the look. Love the choice of power set, I guess, because in other iterations he just kind of always smells.
Right.
And in this one it seems like he's got a little mouthpiece.
Well, he did in 2000X as well.
He had a mouthpiece in 2000X, but that was to keep himself from smelling himself.
That's real, wasn't it?
Right. Yeah, and
because
here
he's actually like
but he could produce a cloud in 2000X of stink like he does here, kind of.
Right.
Yeah.
But in this way, the way he produces it, he takes that mouthpiece out and he just burps.
He big burp and it's just this giant garbage stink. And yeah. I don't know, man. I really liked this Stinkor.
I liked it.
Very classic costume.
Yep. Jason Mewes doing the voice.
I liked it.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't say too much. He's not here for very long.
Right.
But this goes to show that... well, of course, we find out this is Teela and her new friend, Andra, as they say in the show. They knock him out of like the shack or whatever it is that he's in, and he goes and he flies through the air and lands into this is it like a food cart or something?
Yeah, something
destroys
like that.
It.
Yep.
So what we're seeing is that this is what Teela's been up to. She's got her new friend, and they're going on a little journey trying to find something in. They're on a hunt for stuff.
They're kind
for
of like
money.
Scavenging, yeah. Doing
little odd jobs and stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
So, and they end up giving the cart owner money. Like, oops, sorry, you know. But this shows you that things are not as they used to be. Stinkor's out on his own doing these crazy things and stealing stuff, and they're trying
now,
to get
stuff
back.
Now, we don't know how much time has passed, but...
That's never really defined.
She just took off her mask that kept her from smelling stuff, and we realized that Tila's been to the barber.
Tila went a little Britney Spears.
Except for the long hair on top there. Yeah. But
She went Britney Spears, but halfway through she started saying this was the wrong choice.
Yeah, this may not have been the best choice.
This is the reveal of the new look for Tila. Yeah. And I'm just going to get this out of the way.
She's hot?
I'm not a fan of the new look of Tila. I haven't been since the first time I seen it. I get certain reasons that they would do this. And like the reference I just made to Britney Spears, you know, like Matt kind of said, it does make a little sense, you know,
that an emotional young lady might have a breakdown.
We determined last episode that she just went through some hardcore stuff.
Yeah.
And this is the result of that.
Yeah.
Who knows how long it's been, but it's been long enough to where this is obviously a comfortable haircut. So.
Yes. And it's not just a haircut. It's a new uniform. Now everybody that listens to this show knows I'm the thighs out, skies out guy.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who you are.
Doesn't matter who,
what
if it's
gender
on Eternia,
you are. Yep.
Thighs out, skies out.
Yep.
Skies out, thighs out. Said it backwards. Dang.
Whatever. They're one and the same.
I'm not a big fan of pants. I'm not a big fan of pants on He-Man.
I mean, explain why you're not wearing any now.
The more characters that don't have pants, and some of them do. I mean, I guess you could argue Man-at-Arms has a green leotard or something.
Right.
Yeah,
right?
But I mean, but, it's very form-fitting.
Yeah. So,
joke's on you. He painted the green on his face.
Right, yeah. It's body paint. Oh, my God. Where's that movie?
So, you know, I guess I fall into that camp of people that are like, you know, I don't like the new look.
Yep.
It doesn't make me hate the show or think I can't watch the show.
No, it's just a design choice that you
design choice I disagree
that you don't
with.
Like. Right, right. I'll tell you, she's very bland.
She's very bland. Her face, I still will stand by. You know, I think the muscles are a little overdone on her
right.
for my taste.
Now we've seen, you know, that there are actually, I mean, there are like women bodybuilders and stuff
sure.
like their bodies actually do get like that. But yeah, as far as my favorite version or design of Tila, this is not an upgrade in the redesign department.
Right.
To me, this is a little bland.
She's definitely...
Doesn't do much.
You know, she's definitely got a hormone regimen going, you know, testosterone or something to get jacked like that. Like a
lot of push-ups.
Something.
Well, you've determined that the gravity on Eternia causes that to happen, so maybe she's just fighting the gravity a little bit more. I don't know.
Maybe, but I don't know if that works here. Because
maybe she put on pants and it makes her heavier, more muscles.
In this world, I don't think the gravity thing is real, because Adam would be jacked, and Adam's a little tiny guy.
He still had muscle, though.
He's like David
Spade.
He had
muscle tone. Yeah, okay.
And plus...
Fair enough.
And plus, there was a bunch of, like, villagers that were...
Yeah, they weren't buff.
They weren't all buff.
Yeah, but they were all also animals.
Right, animals.
Well, they did do different
species and whatnot.
So, it's not my thing. I don't like the...
Not a fan.
Yeah, not a fan. And there's them shots that they would see of her with her... You know, and they show her from the rear, and it'd be I'm not talking about her butt. I'm talking about her back, and it would just be all muscles and lats and shoulders and everything. And I couldn't stop staring at that. Like,
well, you know,
taking my attention, and I'm like, it's off putting to me. It's jarring.
She went through all this grief. She shaved the sides of her head. And she now works out every single day.
She joined an MMA group.
Yeah.
I'm not sure she's physically drawn any different than she is in episode one, but for some reason... Her arms look bigger to me.
Yeah, I think they might be a touch bigger.
Mm-hmm.
They almost seem to
get bigger through the episodes.
Yeah, she's...
You know, and I'm not gonna fight with you on this, because I know I'd win. But I will say to you, you're allowed to have that opinion. Like, let's be honest.
Sure.
Like, there's no reason to fight about any of that stuff.
No.
So it's like, I'm not a huge fan of the Teela, like the redesign, like let's call it the future Teela look. I see story elements of why they would go there, make her kind of bland. Yeah. She's just another.
I've had friends who've gotten crappy haircuts before.
She's just another.
Didn't make me like them any less. I just make fun of them more.
Scavenger doing odd jobs, you know, trying not to stick out. Everything's pretty. The color palette's pretty.
She's
muted.
Trying not to look like a master of the universe.
Oh, for sure.
Done with that world.
Well, let's hope she goes back someday, though.
Word is she will. Hopefully. Okay. Hopefully.
So, yeah. So we meet Andra, and Andra. Her best friend.
Yes. Well, they both go to.
I don't know if I'd go that way.
Wait, what?
To say she's a best friend.
Okay.
And here's what
I'm
thinking.
It's her partner.
They seem to be new friends. Because yeah. She doesn't know all about Teela's past.
Right.
They make that clear when she's like, I knew him from my past. And she's like, man, if this was your past, that would have been awesome.
But I will say that.
She could be very mysterious, too, though.
Right. I feel like that there's elements of truth to both of those things. So, and obviously we'll go into it in further reviews and when Jeremy's actually, when we allow him to speak.
Right.
But there are a lot of callbacks that she says and does with Teela, Andra does, where it's almost like whether or not they're truly best friends, it seems like Teela replaced Adam with Andra.
As far as the way they fight together. Yeah,
they have a couple phrases that she says with Andra that she actually says with Prince Adam. She has a phrase that she says with Andra that she says with He-Man. Like, so I can see a little bit of those parallels where
she's trying to fill that void.
Right. But Andra's looking at it, like you said, where she says, holy crap, this is your life. Like,
you were a master of the universe. And apparently, Elena was supposed to be in one of these episodes, from a past character, and she was going to say like how she looked up to Teela or whatever, but that ended up getting cut.
Interesting.
So, if you watch the Kevin Smith, he talks with the writers of each episode, and he does a review of each one, and that was something that they said. It was actually his daughter that did the voice. So he's like, I don't know if she knows she got cut. But she got
Jason
cut.
Jason Mewes is like, I stayed in. You
yeah,
got
right. Snoochy boogies. So we find out that the glove that they collected is the glove of Globula, which is also an old callback to Masters somewhere. I don't remember where.
To me, it sounded really goofy, but then when you said it was a callback, I'm like, well, it is Masters.
Right, yeah. I was like, that's a dumb name they chose. Oh, well, it was past. It's a great name they chose then. They bring it to the priestess, and she explains that the magic has been disappearing from Eternia. Ever since the big old fight that one day, magic is draining.
And I do like this idea.
Yes. Yep. Great story element there. Excuse me. We find out Andra is an engineer. While basically she's the brains and Teela's the brawn.
She is replacing not only Adam, but she's replacing Duncan.
Yes.
And this gives us the good, the view, the element of Teela saying, hey, lady, I know you want your magic, but see this device. It's tech. So it's sort of giving us like the side of the battle as far as magic versus tech that Teela kind of,
She's not too happy with magic, that's right. For sure. Then we see this this little old lady, and her name is Majestra.
Oh, and we didn't know this was Evelyn.
Come on, everybody knew. Even they knew.
It was Evelyn?
Yeah, it was.
She asked them to do a job.
How many times did you watch this one before we watched it?
Son of a bitch.
I watched this one with you guys for the first time.
Yeah. Till next week.
Yeah. So she wants them to capture or to go find a magical goblet. And they ask where, and she says, Snake Mountain.
Ooh, Snake Mountain.
Name dropping.
Yep. I wrote, used to be her best friends, and I'm not sure what I meant by that.
Oh, the goblet used to, she says, this, yes. this used to be my best friend's goblet.
Majestra's best friend.
And I really just want it back. Yeah. It's only sentimental.
Andrew's like, Snake Mountain, no way. Teela's like, done. She's like, what the heck, like, are you crazy? No, I'm experienced.
Yep. Been there, done that.
I've seen this crappy episode a few times.
So then we get a flashback.
love that they don't tell you that they're flashbacks. You just obviously know because you're smart.
But here's the deal. I wanted more of them.
I know. Oh, and they put like three flashbacks in every episode.
I wanted more. That way you... That way you could have been keep getting cool He-Man stuff without He-Man being there. And the story could have just kept driving forward. Yet we still all get our dose. That way nobody's got the complaint that He-Man's gone from the He-Man cartoon.
True.
If we
are lucky enough to get a season two, I almost would rather have a prequel. You know what I mean?
Oh.
Start wherever, but before.
Well, and that's this is my take on it. That battle scene, or that scene where like Tila's like showing Andra how to get into Snake Mountain because this flashback happened with He-Man where they're fighting.
Right. They reference the net.
They reference the net of the toy, the trap door.
They're fighting Whiplash. Which is fun. She climbs up his tail to get out of the net.
So all of that stuff. So the callback for me was the original trailer that dropped. We were told by Kevin Smith that in an interview or in a little podcast that whole trailer was one of the producers, Teddy. That was like his childhood, was like that song was on in the background.
Yeah.
And he'd play with the toys when they had this flashback scene. That looked like somebody playing with the toys.
Yeah.
And if we got a whole season that literally was titled, "This is what you looked like playing with your toys 25, 30 yes. years ago."
Yes.
I would love that season because that's what this whole scene felt like.
Yes.
It just felt like.
I feel like had they been greenlit.
Well, that's not very inclusive. Because I didn't have Snake Mountain. So I didn't look like
neither
that playing with my toys.
Neither did I.
You didn't get Snake Mountain out of a JCPenney catalog.
No, actually. I've told the story a million times.
Oh.
I used the Navarone playset. The Guns of Navarone playset.
Yep. Hence the custom playset that I made him of Snake Mountain.
I didn't
have
a Snake Mountain. So I had no net.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I never knew there was a net until like 8 years ago.
Right. Or shackles.
So they get
We get to see her fight with He-Man and the little, you know, just the little, their interaction with each other. And it's
beautiful.
Just, yes. Great.
Good stuff.
We come to, they talk about Wolf's Gate, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
Because they never referenced that in the original cartoon or anything. And we're at present day Snake Mountain.
Yes.
And there is a lot of tech going on the outside. There's like a...
It looks different.
Yes, a lot different. There's the ground is sealed below. This is the same area they were before in the past. And there's like just tech going on in the door. Like they can't get in that door.
Yeah.
There's no way they're going to get in.
It's not just a regular door.
It's not Wolf's Gate anymore. It's like, you know,
cyber
sealed
Wolf's
and
Gate.
You need like fingerprints and all this crazy stuff. So she basically finds a way to get inside by actually opening up that trap door and with her now this weapon is very interesting. It does. This is like a switchblade or not a switchblade.
Swiss Army knife.
This thing can do everything.
It's very Duncan like.
Yes. And I kind of dig it. So, they open the ground up and start shoveling, and get inside that way.
They do.
Once they get inside, we see a Doomseeker. Flying around.
Cool. I like the Doomseeker.
So that kind of gives us an idea.
Classics color, toy color, because the first Doomseeker's from 2000X, and it's just silver in color and kind of metal. But then I think the Classics toy, where they changed like some things, they made it to like look more Triclops-ish as far as color scheme.
So we're basically already all sitting there going, oh, all right, we know who's here. So it's very techie inside, and Tila makes a point of that. We start to see these people in robes walking around, and one of them has like a little telescoping robotic eye kind of poking out of it.
At first, they reminded me of the Masters Universe Classics figures, the Horde Wraiths.
Yes.
That's what it reminded me of, the style.
When I saw it immediately, but quickly found out that wasn't what they are.
That is not what it is at all. So Tila and Andra come up behind a couple of them and do the typical pull them out, knock them out, take their cloaks.
Classic.
We start hearing things like flesh is weak, not machine. We see this big falcon in the middle of the room, which looks a lot like Screech.
Yeah.
Which we find out is called the motherboard. Inside, we see a new version of Triclops, kind of like a almost like a priest.
Yeah.
This is where the episode really takes a turn for me.
Yeah.
In a good direction, right?
No.
Really?
I don't like cult leader.
Does it scare you?
Doesn't scare me. I just think it's weird. It just doesn't. It fell flat. It just was like
interesting.
It was boring for me.
Huh.
So we got
not how I ever envisioned Triclops. Yeah. Even like,
it to me, it's so
I've never envisioned him that way. But once you
got a character, that should be a better way.
For me, it seemed completely in character because if magic, like it kind of explains verbally. If magic like messed everything up and you're the one guy in the room that like leans on tech, you would.
Well, he's not even the only one. Like him, Trapjaw is very kind of that way as well.
I think it has a little bit to do with the tech thing was a 2000X thing for Triclops for me.
Okay.
And I never really looked at Triclops as a tech guy before that.
Okay.
More of the sword. You're going more straight swords. Swordsman,
that's style. Okay. That's how I always saw him.
Like
as a
Blade
kid.
Should have been Triclops in
yes,
the movie.
Yes, I always right. thought Blade should have been Triclops. Right. So he's like this swordsman, more like the mini comic.
Okay.
Guy.
I got you.
That's my Triclops.
Okay.
I don't ever think of him as the tech guy. I know he wasn't in 2000X, but it just never stuck with me.
Gotcha.
I think that Trapjaw would have been, and Trapjaw was there.
But he's not smart enough. I feel like
he's never outside of the icons of evil, MYP, Triclops being Cronus and like being smart enough to possibly be a leader in this situation.
Trapjaw being Cronus.
Did I say that? Sorry. Yeah. Trapjaw. It seems like the, for lack of a better term, dumb Trapjaw is like kind of the route they were going with this.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm with you. They could have completely like done like he was next up.
Had they used him, it would have totally made sense.
It couldn't. Yeah, I think that could have been interchangeable.
To me, I don't know. There was
still creepy.
There was just something about this, like just talking about the digital embrace of motherboard and people are drinking from this chalice. Like Triclops went insane.
Oh. No doubt.
And he's totally obsessed with tech and just, and he's turning people into like cyborgs essentially.
Right.
It's very technovirus.
Yes. Right. And I think we had mentioned something about that too when we were watching something about a technovirus. And so this guy, we see him drink from the chalice. And all of a sudden, he's screaming and writhing around, and he gets the robotic eye that comes out of his face, and then this sweet-ass saw arm.
That was cool. I think I drink that stuff.
This is, exactly. This is like body horror. Like, this is my thing. Like, there's a cult, and there's, like, crazy.
There were definitely elements
happening.
Of that, because when I was watching this episode with my daughter, last night maybe, right when they get in, the cloak is like facing forward, so Tila and Andra are on the side of it, and then it turns and shows like the half cyborg face, and my daughter was like, whoa.
All
of a sudden, there were a couple of those moments in this.
To me, this is a horror movie to me. Yeah, this is like, I'm totally embracing this.
Yeah.
They even mentioned things, robotics, automation, and the holy sprocket.
The holy sprocket, yeah.
It was cheesy, but I'm like, this is gold.
Yeah.
Basically, we find out that he's anti-magic because it's an empty promise.
Right.
Which is
weird because it seems like he's using tech in a very magical way. Like, you know what I mean? Like, obviously, it's completely different, but it's
more like nanobots, I see. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So. I think it would have been cooler and I don't know who else they would have done this with, but Evil Lyn. I think it would have been cooler, too, if you're going to use lines like that, for it to have been a magic person who had their faith in magic.
True.
And now is like, it was an empty promise. I'm done with magic. Now it's all tech.
But I mean, that's who was running the place before, you know, these two magicians basically, and they're gone now. So,
right.
They failed.
Well, as far as
Skeletor failed.
Yeah, and as far as that goes, if you are like this tech guy making all their vehicles and you're like, man, we could take over Grayskull, like, if I was in charge, but, like...
Right.
Like, and then, like, he's always being, like, outshadowed by the two magic people. Like, I could see why he would, like...
He goes, back.
Like, oh!
They never alluded to Trapjaw being a tech guy in Filmation, did they?
Trapjaw or Triclops?
I'm sorry, Triclops. Excuse me.
In Filmation, I think that he was still that, like, just the... Basically barbarian, almost. Like, he had that echoey voice, but he was very, like, fight against He-Man.
It was just more about his eye powers.
Yeah, more about his eye powers.
Yeah.
And I actually don't think we saw a lot of that.
No, we just saw the spin. I don't think he used it at all as far as a power goes.
Voiced by Henry Rollins.
Love Henry Rollins.
I do like Henry Rollins.
And I don't know if you're about to mention it, but we didn't mention a character that we've never seen in animation form. That showed up randomly, and I don't think any of us expected him. Beep, boop, boop, beep.
Oh, boop. Yes.
Oh, Blastoise. I was getting there.
Okay, my bad.
So
it was a snake man.
Basically, they start to... Well, Teela, they had infiltrated, and Teela's just like, you know what? I'm going to take you out. She does not even care. She's like, this is just... He's a lackey. And it's like... We're all sitting here going, this insane guy, you know, this cult, and she's like, whatever.
And this is something I didn't like either, is they kind of make it, I think that the evil warriors should be harder to deal with. You know, she took out Stinkor like nothing.
Right.
You know, Triclops is not going to be a big deal for her either. And, you know, I think she's just a little, it's just, she, okay, He-Man and Skeletor, we know they're up here.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's like, I would put like Duncan and maybe Evil Lynn. They're like next tier.
Yeah.
And then you've got a bunch of cronies on both sides. Teela's up there too, but I just think, I'm not saying she shouldn't win. It just seemed like they were just nothing.
Right.
Her. I think if they had more time, maybe they could have spent some time with them.
I think it's a time thing. And then also, like, as far as storyline goes, it sort of proved in the way Jeremy's saying that Teela just walked in. Like, can you imagine somebody that was like, I'm going to use a really random, never mind, I'm not even going to say it. Could you imagine Jeremy's band, okay, that he resigned from, and imagine going to see that band in 8 months, and the guy that used to run the soundboard for him is now up on stage, and he like he's not talented enough to be up on stage. That's how Teela viewed Triclops when she walked in. She's like,
you're no Skeletor.
She's like, are you kidding me? Like, you're in the lead. And then she starts stretching. She's like, I'm gonna have to knock some bolts into whatever.
I don't think you, when you downgrade your villains like that, then they're not a threat, and it's not powerful when you beat them.
Well, they're a threat to basically everybody else, but not to a master of the universe.
Former
master of the universe.
See, but he's an evil warrior. I mean, he's on the level.
And he put up a fight.
He put up a fight. I think he's crazy too. I think that as far as Triclops specifically, they definitely did him. He was definitely like, even later on in the episode with Beastman, like you could tell he's. He's the cult.
He's kind of a bitch.
The priest.
Hey, I have no quarrel with you, Beast Man.
The priest isn't getting into any hand-to-hand fights. Right. Like, it seems like that's the angle that they played with.
I know, that's my problem.
Yeah,
I don't.
Don't like that angle.
Yeah. I wanted him to be more of a threat. Gotcha. I wanted him, you know, I want to come up against an evil. Ooh, Triclops! Oh, this is a challenge. Right. You know,
so in episode one, when he was flying around on that. On that thing, you were grinning ear to ear like, Triclops, he's coming in. We're
all the
fight.
Evil warriors.
Yeah.
All of them, I see them, and I'm like, these are the equivalent to our heroes.
Right.
You know, they got to be a challenger. Our heroes, I mean, they're not.
So does the scene work out better for you in your mind if, like, Andra and Teela barely get out,
yes,
but they steal the chalice, but then it works, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, they barely get out, and instead, whether or not they do this or not, but instead of Andra to Trapjaw, like Andra gets hurt, like it's a scar or something. Like they barely make it out because it's only one master and a sidekick against four or five evil villains and crazy tech. Okay,
I kind of look at it.
That's my thoughts.
I kind of look at it like he's not keeping up. You know what I mean? He's all into this crazy cult now. Yeah, they go and try to attack like that town and stuff that we see later on.
But even that falls so flat because
he's basically just, I don't know. He's just basically insane and kind of incompetent now in a weird way. Yeah. But we get to see Teela's weapon change again. It turns into a sword.
Yeah.
So it's a shovel and a sword and other things now.
Cool stuff.
We get to see Whiplash, who's now upgraded.
He's teched up.
Yeah.
Pretty fun. Yeah.
He's looked pretty cool.
Blast Attack, like you brought up.
I liked
Blast Attack. He was kind of played for comedic effect, but it totally worked. So.
Yeah. I mean, what do you do? Like, what do you do? Yeah, show me a way that you do that not comedic.
Right.
Like, because he's going to blow up.
He doesn't want to.
Blowing up.
Drake, he's trying to stop himself.
And then he just takes a deep breath and lays against the rocks like, whew, that was close. Like, you know that has happened before.
Yeah.
Now we get the one guy who just got changed in the cult. His arm gets chopped off, his blade arm.
Yep.
And then he gets thrown into the Robo Girl, which looked like his daughter.
She was creepy.
She was insane. Her head spins all the way around.
They had that horror movie moment.
She has like the gun arms.
They had the horror movie moment that my daughter too.
Yeah.
And Tila's like, yeah, I'll help you, little girl. And all of a sudden her head spins around. And you're like, whoa.
We see that Andra uses throwing stars. That's one of her moves there. She goes to take the blade arm and attack Trapjaw, but he starts biting it and the arm that she had just cut off, and she throws some wires together and voomp. We don't see it, but that blade comes flying out and hits Trapjaw in the head. Pretty crazy. We get the explosion. That's when Andra throws her throwing star into Blast Attack and he boof.
He can't do the sequence.
He can't stop it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's the throwing stars in there. I think this counts as a death. Blast Attack was killed.
Let me get my pen. Matt's getting so excited he's dropping things.
I don't know where it went.
It's under your tire wheel. Wheel on your...
All right. Death count is up to 5.
You got 5. So they exit using Teela's weapon, which is now a grappling hook.
Oh, yeah.
And we go into the bowels of Snake Mountain,
mm-hmm.
and what was once a sticker has now become these giant tentacles that actually came with the classics.
Yeah, it came with the new Super 7 thing. Yeah.
Snake Mountain. And it starts attacking all of the cult people and stuff like that. So basically these things they're not tamed by any means. Yeah. Maybe the Skeletor.
But. And I have to say, next time if you guys do get to watch this, I'm pretty sure Steven might not watch this episode again. But if any of your listeners also watch this, the little battery box in original Snake Mountain,
mm-hmm.
I swear they use that in the background of, because they do this really well, they have in this show so far, but Triclops is standing like on a ledge or something, and I swear it's that battery box that's in the bottom of
the Snake writer Mountain. Of this episode, I don't remember her name, but she made sure to do her research on Snake Mountain.
Nice.
When she was writing and stuff. So,
nice.
Yeah, we definitely got some cool stuff for that. So anyway, they take the chalice that they got. They stole it. And they bring it back to Majestra, who offers them another job.
Yeah.
If they deliver the goblet.
Now you got Grayskull.
Yep, wants them to go to Grayskull. Hmm. So now, maybe it's Andra's chance to mean something.
We'll Is this when out. They call her out as Evil-Lyn?
Nope, not yet.
Not yet.
Nope.
Okay.
So, Andra chooses to go, so she can mean something. Teela is basically like, nah, I'm good. I'm not going to Grayskull. But
that's a little bit too close to home for her.
Yeah, that's a pretty rough place. That's where shit went down.
And we talked about earlier that the friendship level, that there has obviously been some, at least, discussion between her saying, like, Teela's like, I'm out of that game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a master. I'm not involved or associated. And so Andra gives her the little line like, maybe you're not going to be a hero anymore, but what if I want to?
Yeah, it's her chance to mean something. So yep.
That's what you said, and I apologize. I just
said it again. She chooses to go Teela decides to follow her. But we get to know that the king has declared Castle Grayskull now the Forbidden Zone. No one's allowed to go there. And they're going to do it anyway. We get inside and we see Old Sorceress.
Aww.
And she's holding the last amount of magic.
Aww.
Yeah. It's pretty sad. She's pretty old and looking pretty rough.
I hope I don't get old and rough, because my daughter was like, man, she looks old.
Oh, just wait 10 years, buddy.
Oh,
you're screwed.
Yep.
So this is when they call out Majestra for being Evil Lynn.
Right.
They all knew.
Oh, yeah. This is where the big switch.
Yep.
Because we think that she's going to attack.
Yeah, because somebody throws, I think Teela throws...
Like, Jeremy's gotten it all written down, but we're trying to...
Kind of, that's fine. So we find out that the chalice is actually the Havoc Staff. It turns into the skull of the Havoc Staff.
Mm-hmm.
She uses it to enhance the last ember of magic in the sorceress's hands. But they try to stop her, because they think she's trying to hurt her. Teela throws her weapon, and who stops it? Oh, Cringer.
Cringer. And this is where the voice really jars me.
Yeah.
We're all going to die. I'm like, what? You're supposed to say, we're all going to die.
Where's my stapler? We learned that if this ember goes out, which is now getting bigger, Eternia will be gone. This is it. Basically, Eternia is the beginning of everything. It's magical. If Eternia dies, everything else dies. So...
And even Sorceress says, I think Evelyn says, or somebody says something like, "You sure you trust me?" And Sorceress like, "I trust that all we are aligned with, our motives right now."
Yes,
basically.
Yep. Basically, the ember goes out. Attorney is gone. So the magic gets put into Evelyn's wand staff, as it is called. Cringer tells everybody, "We all got to work together now." We learn that magic, this is where it says magic created Eternia. Without it, it will rot and die. And without Eternia, the whole universe is gone. So they find out they need to get the power sword to return the magic. And it has been divided into two.
Twain.
One half is in pre-Eternia.
Okay.
And one half is in sub-Eternia.
Okay, so one half is in... the past.
No.
And one half is down below where the bat people and the whiplash people live, right?
No. Neither of those things.
Okay.
We find out that Preternia is actually more of Eternia's heaven.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Where Subternia is more like hell.
Hades, hell.
Yes.
Okay. Land of the dead.
That's an interesting take on it.
It's a very interesting take on it.
How'd you guys feel about that take?
I'm good with it.
I'm fine with it. I think that it's kind of interesting. I mean, if you're going to do, like, I could see this going down as, hey, let's do, like, a heaven and hell thing. And you'd be like, yeah, well, what do we call them? Because you're not going to call them heaven and hell.
Right.
And like, well, we got these words here, Preternia. We own the rights to this.
Like, yeah.
So, you know, I mean, right, it's just right. Kind of the way.
And the way they do it and with all the characters that come later,
yeah.
I mean, it really does kind of work out. So. It's a nice twist on it, and it's basically a huge Easter egg,
right?
Because they aren't gonna go into the past and do all this type of stuff,
right?
So.
And that's the thing with some of the still shots. Some of the questions were like, "Oh, is Adam time traveling?" And like all
right,
this stuff.
Yeah,
you know, that's
definitely
what some people thought. But
thoughts.
But yeah, it's Preternia and Subternia are terms that there's not so much weight to them as far as like. Actual content. It's all just kind of like this stuff could have happened, you know. Preternia has to do with toy lines that never existed, and you know, so we can play with it, you know, stuff that they could play with that already exists,
right?
Pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool. Teela says no, we're not gonna do that. I'm not gonna help. But Cringer stops her. He has a nice conversation with her and tells her about, you know, the story of how, you know, how he got his name, and it was her that gave him his name, and says that she's...
Which is Filmation accurate.
Very, very
nothing
much
but
so.
A Cringer.
Yep, Battle Cat, that episode. Got to watch that. She said he basically tells her that she's scared because she's going to let Adam down. She thinks she's going to let Adam down because he trusted her with Eternia.
And I got to say, although I do find Cringer's voice really kind of weird, I love his dialogue. I love
great
his,
dialogue.
I like this
That's
conversation.
Yes.
I think it's, I think, again, that character building where he's just like, I know what scared looks like.
Yeah.
And I'm calling it out right now. Like, you are scared.
And
like,
he doesn't seem scared at all anymore. Like, he, it seems like maybe he's kind
of... Well, he's had a little bit of growth.
He's kind of gone through the opposite change.
Yes.
Or, I don't know if it's opposite, but it's, yeah.
He's growth. Gone through a change as well. That we see he's not just... Because in the first episode, he's hiding under the table when there's fireworks. And, you know, he's scared. And here, it's more like, listen, I ain't scared no more. We need to fix some stuff, though.
And with him, you think about that character, it's like, hey, not that I was allowed to be the scaredy cat, but he was allowed to be the scaredy cat because he had all these strong people around him.
Yeah.
And all those strong people are gone now.
Yeah.
Like,
not to mention he had the opportunity to turn into battle cat. So
yeah, I mean, so you're there, and now you're just there by yourself. And mm-hmm. so are you going to be the scaredy cat? Because it's almost like that's not even an option for him at this point.
Right. Exactly. So basically his conversation with her wins her over, which is a good thing because I like to see that with Cringer and her. I don't think there's a lot with her and Cringer. You know, it was always Adam and Cringer type of thing.
Yeah.
At least in my memory, you know
it's
what I mean?
It's Adam and Cringer, it's Orko and Cringer a lot.
Yes. Yep, very much
and this,
so.
And this episode and in other episodes, I don't know what specifically you'd call it, but that relationship angle where like two characters that aren't really necessarily always matched up, but like they kind of match them up in different ways and different characters in this five episodes.
Right.
I thought they did a good job with that.
Oh yeah. You learn a lot about these characters and how they really are, you know, how they really feel and how much they've grown over, you know, however long it's been. So after he wins her over, they basically decide that they're going to go off to Subternia first, which is also known as the Land of the Dead. So they head off to find Man-at-Arms to forge the sword.
They need somebody that can forge that sword. That, is that the end?
That's the end of episode 2.
End of episode 2. Matt, why don't you start?
I think it was an episode...
It definitely episoded.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the world building aspect of it. That we got to. This was our first viewing of what is the world like without He-Man and Skeletor.
This almost feels like the pilot episode in a way. You know what I mean?
Right. I think the first episode was kind of the fan service episode.
Yeah.
And then this would be kind of the pilot episode of like, okay, this is the show. This is the direction we're going with. We're going to dabble a little bit of old school He-Man. We know you want more. We're going to give you more in the future. Let's hope, cross our fingers. But I definitely like the direction that we're going in. And again, I just love the idea of a culty
yeah.
tech group in Stank Mountain when Skeletor and Evil-Lyn leave. Like, it's just weird. It's just weird.
What did you think of Andra?
Andra, I would say because of just kind of normal storytelling, she was definitely the viewer's eyes are in into it, you know, where I could see kids watching this and like Andra's like, I've got a little blaster glove and I'm kind of smart with tech, which is this generation's new cool thing. So, you know, that looks cool from their point of view, but I have to see her more. I like her. She doesn't have a gimmick outside of tech, and most Masters characters have like a hardcore gimmick. But I'm fine with her. I'm not opposed. I'm not for. She's just kind of there,
right?
You know,
right,
as far
right.
as that goes. But I mean, would we have liked to see old school different, like a different character
yes.
in that position? Steven would. But again, it's part of that like that kind of that uneasy element of growth and change that like, yeah, we're going to be dabbling with a little bit of new stuff, too. And they've been very, very
honoring, I think, of like giving. I mean, we saw Blast Attack, we saw Whiplash, we saw Triclops, we saw, you know, all this handful of these characters that they're being very true to. So to get all of that, if I'm exchanging that for like Andra being this little sidekick chick to show, to realistically show us Teela and Adam's relationship, but from this other angle,
right?
I'm down with it.
Okay, Steve.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff fell flat with me on this episode. I did love the Evil Inn stuff. I think I'm not the cult thing kind of was lame to me. That not a whole lot I liked. So I thought Stinkor was cool. I don't know. I was kind of, this is the episode. It's like I will, you know, give something away. I like episode 3 much better. So we're gonna get back on track. And as far as Andra's concerned, I'm guessing that, you know, because they did the race swap with Andra, which I have no problem with. I don't really care. But I'm assuming they did that because they wanted to inject some more diversity into this show.
Sure.
That's fine. I would rather see Clampchamp teaming up with her. It would have been made more sense to me. He could have been, because he's kind of a tech guy, the clamps and everything. He could have filled the tech guy role.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've heard of him being the predecessor to Man at Arms someday.
Well, that makes me think that he's probably still at the palace then.
He might be, but I'm just, they could have written it any way they want.
Sure, sure.
And not that everybody technically needs to be related, but now that you're saying it, both of you guys are saying, all of a sudden we show up. CC is the new Man at Arms, and this girl walks in and she's like, "Hey, big brother," or like something like I right? could see them doing that. I could see them That'd doing where like this was a little girl that hung out with at the palace, and her older brother was like a soldier with Fisto and under Duncan.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, and you never know.
And she's growing up in that realm of things, and like Teela's like her friend now because she's like not.
But bottom line, I think it would have been cool to take a character that never really got much love and and bring him in the forefront and make him one of the big, you know, inner circle in this adventure.
I hope they do that.
I'd much rather seen something like that. And I always thought Clampchamp was cool.
Yeah.
So that's it, I guess. Got to get through this one to get to 3, and I like 3. So let's let's get there. Jeremy, nice. What do you think?
Obviously I loved the cult aspect. I did not expect anything like that.
Right.
And it played into horror in a way. And I really dig that, body disfigurement and all that stuff. That's just cool to me. We got to learn obviously what's going on with the magic and that's very important to the story, so I appreciate that. As far as like the most exciting episode, probably not.
You think it's lame too?
It's
I'm just
not
putting words in his mouth.
Yeah, right.
He has to defend it.
Out of all of them, it's not my favorite. I mean, the first episode I liked a lot better.
Yeah.
Probably because of familiarity and all that.
Wait, okay. So I'm not gonna say the number right now, but I just want to know if I was to say. What's your favorite episode out of these 5? You already have a number in mind, correct? Both of you?
I do.
Do you?
It's between a couple of them.
Okay.
But
okay. Nice.
Yeah.
So wait a minute. You're telling me right now that you really disliked a lot of elements, Steven, of this episode, and Jeremy, you really liked a lot of the elements that even yes. a lot of them that Steven disliked. And we're sitting here smiling together?
Yeah.
Well, the weird thing is me and Jeremy are normally always usually on the same page.
Yeah, we're usually on the same page.
So it's odd for us to disagree.
Yeah.
But and, I mean, yeah, I don't... What's a,
I
yeah.
think part of that's... I mean, well, think about it, too. You're not a big horror fan either.
No.
And, right. I mean, not saying this was a horror episode, but
you,
because,
you
I mean,
saw
the scare
those,
glow
you,
one is kind of...
Yeah, yeah, you saw those elements, though.
Yeah, and I saw that stuff, and that just really interested me. Yeah. That was... And all the details for Snake Mountain.
But to answer
like
your
that.
Question, me and Jeremy are still as much in love, yes.
Oh, yeah. I don't
yeah,
lose
no, I knew that. I was just... It was... I just haven't seen very respectable discourse, I guess, as loving as this episode has been. Yeah. You know?
Pretty crazy, huh?
You got so we're not the podcast is still on, like it's still a podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. We're all good. I mean, okay. That's how you do it. You with a property as big as Masters, and for all of us liking it for different reasons. I mean, right? None of us have the same favorite character.
Yeah.
We don't necessarily have the same favorite version of Masters.
Right.
Much like the people listening to this, we all love it for different reasons. No matter what you make now.
Right.
Whether it's a comic, whether it's a movie, whether it's, you know, whatever, cartoon, there's no way you're going to please every single person.
So you didn't bring me on the show to tell people they were wrong.
Correct.
All right. Well, I guess I'm done.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, man. It's been a blast, guys.
Episode 2.
Episode
of Revelation.
Two. Yeah, it's been fun. I'm really glad you guys are along on this ride with us. We're going to do more. We're going to do 3. We're going to do 4. We're going to do 5. I will tell you a teaser right now, because that's what I've been doing lately. One of those episodes would be my favorite episode. It is not one.
Wow.
I will give you my teaser. Ooh. One of those episodes is my favorite episode coming up. Mine is not one nor two.
Samesies.
Interesting. Interesting. This could become a very, very heated debate.
Yes,
soon.
Hot topic. I guess
everyone in the poetry community, you stay tuned.
All right, everybody. We'll be back with another episode soon. Hold on to your power harness. Until then, we'll see you around the universe.